Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Good looking guy.
Professional.
Damn. Woo. That's crazy. Yeah. Better looking than me. Shit. I didn't come prepared. Hate when people are chewing gum.
Yeah, we'll just do a rolling start. What's wrong with gum? Like when they're talking.
No,
to
yeah,
you?
When like in a mic, you're chewing gum, and it's like, yeah, bro.
Right? I do listen to podcasts at all.
Yeah.
Who do
oh,
you?
Oh no, yeah, I do.
Who?
Which podcast do I like? Oh, Tim Dillon.
I was listening to his doing today on the way here about.
Oh yeah, every Saturday. Okay.
Yeah, he was talking about.
He just talks shit the whole time. I love shit talking.
He was talking about the Signal group chat.
Was he?
And he was, yeah, it's just okay, his takes.
I got to listen to it. But him, I started listening to him when I was on tour driving. It was just, there was this one that he did about Domino's Pizza that I laughed so hard. And everybody, and I had headphones in, and everybody was looking at me in the car like, what are you laughing at?
I loved him.
Something about Domino's Pizza. I forgot what it was.
Have you ever seen him do stand-up in here?
I feel like does he have one stand up or
I don't know.
I think I watched
it's a special out, but I know he pops in and does a lot of characters.
Oh, you mean
sets.
going here. To a show? No, yeah. I haven't. I went to a couple things, but I don't know who I saw. Who did I see?
I was gonna ask, what comedians in general are you like fucking with?
A fan of?
Yeah.
I mean, Dave Chappelle's, you know.
Yeah.
All time. Louis C.K.
I went to his last special.
Oh my God.
It's taping in New York.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I was crying laughing the entire time.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Burr.
Love Bill.
Who else? Oh, have you seen Philippe Esparza?
No.
He's good.
Is he from that generation too?
No, he's a little older, but like he just kind of
popped.
Got on. Yeah. Or it seems like it. He put out a couple specials like a couple years ago. So it's not super recent, but yeah, he's good too.
Yeah, that's my I'm like a junkie for all things.
Yeah, I love comedy.
The podcast scene. This is a great rolling start. We're here. Welcome back. Something Wrong with the Podcast. I don't know what episode number this is yet because I'm going to figure it out later. I might do another one before this or I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Up.
We're here with, honestly, this feels so, I was explaining to Reggie, our engineer, who's been amazing this week. When I started in music, I'm saying like 2018, there was always that like artist that I've always loved and wanted to meet or to work with, or just like obviously best case scenario, get to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird that I'm like saying this to you in person and like we're doing this right now. Yeah. But you were one of those people. And I've been saying since 2014, 13 that you were in my personal top five. If I had to put a number associated with it. And I wanted to show you this because I don't think I've ever shown you this. This is us from 2017 after your Whatever Makes You Happy tour.
Shit, you look different.
I was young. I was teaching on the south side of Chicago at that point in my life.
Oh, this was Chicago.
Yeah.
Wow, that outfit of mine is wild.
You had the
wild.
Velvet. It was
wild.
I'll put a photo
the
in.
The belt buckle?
It was
oh
the
my
tucked
God.
In velvet
Jesus,
short sleeve.
That was out
and,
one.
And look at this. Even before the soft spot.
I was doing this
is the...
What is it?
When boomerangs, like, were a thing.
Yeah. Is that back when vines were popular?
Yeah,
too?
this was posted on May 22nd, 2017.
Oh
I
my
said,
God.
Here's my caption is the highly underrated Jameson, one of the best live performances I've ever experienced.
Oh, wow.
And this is how corny I was at that time. I read hashtag drinking with Jameson.
Love that.
That is, that's the,
I mean,
how far we've come.
You can't shy away from the corn.
No.
You know, we're all corny.
No, man.
I mean, I sing for a living. That's corny as fuck.
Is
like,
it?
That's like, yeah.
Is
I
that?
Mean, I mean, I always say this, like, it's, I mean, it's not as corny as rapping. Like, you're fucking doing poetry. Like, you're
about
up
another
to a beat.
Dude, most
like,
likely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, man, we're cornballs. When all is said and done, we're the corniest people. Like, we're all in drama club, band class, like.
It's like when I boil down, like, the Drake-Kendrick thing, I'm like, at the end of the day, it's two grown men writing poems about each other, which is very funny to me. It's
oh,
like,
my God.
What'd you say? I'll be right back. Hold on.
And they're sitting there writing it. I'm going to write you a letter here.
What a fucking
and
pedophile.
Then I'm going to recite it. Yeah. I'm going to recite it. It's going to be, oh, yeah, hard track. Let's go. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was in a session yesterday, and we were talking about this same thing of, like, being afraid. Because the guy was like, he said something about, you know, you don't want it to be too corny. I'm like, listen, we're making a song. Like, this is corny as fuck. Just be aware.
Yeah.
Like, when you try to be cool, that's when you be corny.
And that's when it looks inauthentic.
Yeah. Yes, like, that's corny.
From my perspective, like, when I started podcasting, like, 3 or 4 years ago, I always was, like, the guy that was like, I don't want to do the mic. I want to be on the behind the scene. And then I kind of just got pulled into this. And then, obviously, he's doing this on my own. I'm like, I'm having that thing again where I'm like, this is fucking... Like, this is fucking, it's corny. Like, I don't want to be that.
Nah, man, life is corny.
But how long did it take you? I mean, you've been making music for, what, over 20 years now?
Yeah.
So it's like, when did that switch go off where it's like, this isn't, it's who I am. I'm a real fucking artist. And, like, this is my career and I'm treating this as, like, a real thing.
Yeah, I think, honestly, that around that 2017, when I put out that album, was, like, when I just embraced the corny. You know, wait, and you know, I actually remember the Blue Album. I embraced the corny pretty hard.
That was long hair, Jameson.
VHS.
Yeah.
I embraced the corny real. I mean, I lost a manager because he didn't like those videos. He was like, what are you doing?
Dude, it's just you.
I was like, man, I'm embracing the corny.
Is it just like you in like white linens and just like in the beat?
Yes.
It's like, I always thought though, that's why I knew you always had like a good, even before we met, like he has a sense of humor because he's like leaning into whatever corn. This shtick is, like this character, like the music, undeniably incredible. Yeah. But the visuals were like, there was some through line of like, this is funny.
Dude, like, just like I implant comedy in every single video I do now.
Yeah.
Like from then on, like the more serious the video, the more the comedic it is to me. Like, and I love that shit. Like, it's not funny unless you're dead ass serious.
Yeah. Even like, and I love like, I'm assuming you have to be, we haven't talked about film at all, but I would assume you're a film buff because like the Western influence.
Oh, yeah.
And the one, I'm forgetting on the music video, but the name of the song, with the pool, the scene in the pool bar, you get in the bar fight.
Slide.
Yes.
Yeah,
which is
based on like Natural Born Killers.
Yes. It's like, I'm like, this is a film. Like this is a,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love movies. I love acting, and that's another thing that's so corny, but I love it.
Have you done any acting?
No, well, I tried to make a movie, but I ran out of money.
Oh, so it doesn't exist. Okay,
I got about 20 minutes in. I think maybe more than 20 minutes, but we got intro scene, and then I think we shot about 4 or 5 like scenes.
Did you write it? I'm assuming
I was writing it on the fly. The idea was, I guess I'm probably not going to use it anymore, but the idea was I was a gay for pay porn star. Like I was and it was a comedy, a dark comedy. A dramedy, you know what I mean? Because he's kind of homophobic, but he's sitting there doing gay for pay porn.
It's not gay, so if it's my job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was the comedy for me of like, this is amazing. Yeah. I can make so much comedy out of this.
Yeah.
Because he's so serious about how gay he's not. <You know>? Meanwhile, he's just crazy, going crazy on the film. He's like, this is my role. This is my role.
I'm a method actor.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was, that was the idea. But yeah, I didn't finish it. I ran out of money and I was like, this was before Soft Spot. And I was making Soft Spot to be the soundtrack of it.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, shit, you know what? I have to, like, make this album. I can't, like, keep making this movie. I feel like I'll be here, like, 3 years will go by, and I still haven't finished the album. So I was like, I gotta put this on the back burner and, like, actually finish this album, because that's kind of what pays for everything.
So the history of Soft Spot was is supposed to be about this show or this movie?
Well, yeah, the movie was called Love Me, and that was, like, the
credits. Holy shit!
Yeah, it was... The credits were that song. It was a good intro too, because it's like this monologue and stuff, and then the choir comes in.
Yeah,
it was amazing. The beat comes in, I'm like driving to my work, and like it's all serious and shit.
And then you find out what he's doing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? As speaking of like a similar dark dramedy, you watch Barry? Bill Hader. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm picturing. It's like he's not great at the job, but he has to do the job. It's like that's this whole like.
Oh, that's a good show.
That's a great. Yeah. It's so well written.
Yeah.
Is it done?
I think and the characters. Yeah. It was done for sure. The characters they picked for that were so good.
That one episode that caught super a bit was the one with the little girl that was based on a real thing. Remember that? Like,
what happened?
It was like an episode where like this little girl was escaping and he was chasing her and she was like an insanely talented like fighter.
The parkour chick. Yes.
I guess that was inspired by like a real thing that happened. And he was like, I have to make this an episode.
Parkour. When anybody busts out in parkour, comedic gold.
I'm currently rewatching all the Daniel Craig Bond films.
Oh, yeah.
Every opening scene is a parkour scene.
Does he?
Car chase or parkour.
I need to brush up on my 007. I haven't watched that since Pierce Brosnan.
Wow, really? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, it's been a while. Tap back. I mean, Craig is great. Played Goldeneye, too, on the...
Yeah, exactly. Those were the
No
days.
Odd job, Kent.
Nintendo 64. I remember.
Yeah, fucking beautiful time. Yeah. Well, so, all right. So, yeah. I wanted to... Let's go, because you briefly mentioned Soft Spot, but I want to go a little further back, because I showed you that the photo of me at your show, the Whatever Makes You Happy tour. I knew your music before then. But what I always loved is, and I'm wondering like where this influence comes from, because you're not a genre artist. You're very genre, like the journalist in me is like genre bending.
Genre fluid.
Yeah, genre fluid, genre bending. It's like whatever the fuck, thrown at, any adjective.
Yeah.
None of your albums sound the same.
Genre fluid.
Genre and fluid, yeah. None of your projects sound the same. And when Whatever Makes You Happy came about, I was like, because that's I grew up on my dad's, like the Marvin Gaye, the Isaac Hayes, like the Al Green. That was my childhood music in the house. And then my mom was like the Led Zeppelin. Yeah. So I had like the appreciation for the soul, but also I fucking love a guitar solo.
Yeah.
Your stuff came out at the perfect time. Yeah. I'm living in Chicago. I'm broke as shit.
Yeah.
I'm teaching. I'm like kind of falling in love with this girl at the time. And that album comes out. And that was like the soundtrack to that time, that relationship with this girl. And I even read in like an older interview, this is like my mind is ridiculous, that you said you wanted to keep it. It's 8 records because you said there was some influence there with like the Motown Marvin Gaye himself.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So like I feel like What's Going On was 8.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and like I just started going through those. And it's funny you said Al Green too, because the album cover, I kind of like took a page out of that where he's sitting on the chair in the all white.
The classic.
I was like, I want to do a cover like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just sitting there. It's, I mean, classic. So I was getting influenced by those things in one way or another. And the Marvin Gaye thing, I mean, that still sticks with me. I try to make it, you know, all fit on one record, you know, and it's like, I think it's like 22 minutes aside. So as long as it's under 44 minutes or so, it might be longer, but just cause that's how they used to do it back then. It's like, if it can't fit on a record, you know, they weren't making double albums back then.
Yeah.
It was like, this is how long a record is. And so
within
those confines. I mean, and it makes you more creative when you put limits on stuff, you know, and you only pick the best of the best.
Yeah. It trims all fat. And that's one of those, I mean, it's like no skips, it's 8 songs, but it's like, it is to me, those are the perfect albums the perfect album to me leaves you wanting like another 8 records.
This is it.
And I'll just continue to loop it. Yeah, that's like 100%. Heavy in my rotation still. And I've always taken back to, but like even on that song, even on that album itself, like Slide is like a Western record. Yeah. Like Drinking is more like a bluesy, like it's true. Like there's so much range in itself. Yeah. So Patiently is that
patiently,
on?
Yeah,
that
on album?
That's, yeah. Yeah, oh, like, yeah. That's like a love ballad. Like there's so
that's
many.
One of my favorite songs.
That's such a beautiful song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love yeah, man. So when you're not just for that album, but I guess all your projects, what are your pulling influences from? Like what creates these new chapters?
I don't know. It's a maybe combination of several things. I mean, what I'm feeling just in life in general, you know, and then what I kind of like plan where I want to go next loosely. Before I start, I'm like, you know what? I want to make like this kind of record. And what I was trying to make with that record was, you know, I want to kind of dip into blues a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course, there's different stuff within that, of and course. It expands and shit. But that was the idea, was like, I want to keep it just drums, bass, and guitar, and, you know, make a bluesy type of record. And then, you know, that expands. And then, like, a album like Velvet, I was just like, I want to just...
Which is so different.
Yeah, so different.
So different. I remember when I heard the first... What was the single for Velvet? Talk Is Cheap?
So Badly.
Or So Badly was the first
one. Yeah, then Talk
Is Cheap. Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is... As expected to me, someone that was listening to your music, I was like, this is a whole different...
Yeah. So that one was like, I just wanted to get a bunch of synths and try out drum machines and like just go crazy in that world. And I didn't... That was the only kind of... direction I had, you know, I didn't know. That's kind of why it's an eclectic mix of songs, because I didn't really have like a genre, you know, direction, but it was just like, I want to get a bunch of like old synths and drum machines and like that people emulate today. I want to get the actual ones and like, you know, play with them and stuff like
that.
How
do you go about collecting those? Is this like a Craigslist?
I didn't buy them. Sometimes some of them I rented.
You rented,
but I did buy a couple that I still have, but, yeah, and then I bought this one expensive keyboard that I just sold after I was done with it, because I was like, this is way too expensive to be in my studio. But I'm glad I you know, I was able to make it on some songs, and you know, I couldn't have got that sound with any other, you know, keyboard. It was perfect.
Do you, because you do, I know you, for people that don't know, you produce a lot of your music and
all
stuff
of it,
and
all
of it. Yeah. And you're obviously your guitar, like that's like the whole
But
what is there, I know, like, on this performance wise, you're on the guitar a lot on stage, but is there an instrument or like a part of production that you enjoy the most? Last night, I remember
listening.
You said, last night, I remember you said, you're like, you don't want me to produce because it's like, it's my way.
Yeah.
And I'll be very bullish on how I operate.
Yeah. That's a good word for it, bullish. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. In terms of working with other artists, it's true. Yeah. Because, I mean, it's their song. So, when I produce my shit, I'm like, I know what I want it to sound like.
Yeah.
I'm going to, like, sit there until I get it. And if I'm like, if I have somebody over my shoulder, like saying, no, it's got to be like, I'm not done yet. I'm not there yet.
I fucking know.
Oh my God. The amount of sessions. Oh my. One of my pet peeves in the studio is somebody over my shoulder when I'm doing something and they're like, oh, what if you just back the fuck up? Let me do this. Like, I'm like, let's not do this.
Yeah.
You
just
sit down.
Yeah, this is going to work.
Just let me. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm thinking of one.
Has that
one
happened
guy
to the,
in particular.
I was going to say, without naming names.
I don't even remember his name.
Is this someone you don't, like, when that happens, you're like, I'm never working with that person again? Like, that's kind of how you operate.
Yeah. I don't even remember his name.
So, working with other artists, I wanted to bring up, you did a lot of, this is what I think is fascinating about your career, which will, again, I keep like, belating like the soft spot thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, we'll get there.
Yeah, no. I'm not tripping.
Forward to this, like the producing for a lot on Kendrick's. Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah.
So it's like producing stuff like that. Like, how did that intro happen? And B, like, how was that process? Was it just like you sending strings or packs? Or how did that work?
Yeah. So it happened. Soundwave. This is like when Instagram, I feel like, was first started in 2012, or was it?
Instagram, I think, was 2008.
Oh,
but it became
so
like
a
thing,
was,
and like, it
but
took
Soundwave hit me up on. They had DMs back then, right? Yeah, he must have hit me up on that. Yeah, because they didn't have them right away, right?
No, it was definitely a
later. But
later.
He, but
well,
he
I mean, Good Kid,
me
they were probably recording that in what 2011, 2012.
Yeah. And so, he hit me up, or 2012 they were recording it, because I had already put out my album by then, which was in 2012, and then his came out later, 2012.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, and so he hit me up, and he's like, come to Carson, and, I don't even know, just say what's up. And so I went there, and Absol was there, Ali was there, and I feel, Dave might have been there, or I might have met him later. But, so I just met all them, and I guess it was just an intro, and then later Soundwave just came to my spot, and he brought Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, And we, I just put vocals on it from at my spot, and then he's like, "Hey, come to the, what is it, the Interscope Studio?
Yeah,
Santa Monica."
Yeah.
So I went over there, and then I brought my violinist, who at the time was doing strings for me, because they wanted strings on that song too. So I did some strings for that song, and then they played the Sing About Me, that one.
Yep.
And we did strings for that one, and then
didn't they
Real? I think Real. Had strings too.
Yeah.
And there was another one.
Wasn't like the Art of Peer Pressure.
Art of Peer Pressure. Is that I'm with the homies, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that one. I don't think they did strings for that one. I just did vocals for that one. And then, I forgot the question.
But like, was that in terms of collaborating with rappers? Was that your first time working with like in the rap community?
No, or? I was always. I mean, maybe I did a song with Boldy James before that. That was, you know. But I was always like, you know, as a musician. Like, just as a beat maker,
yeah.
When I was growing up, I was just trying to get people from school to come rap on my beats, you know? Like, just making beats and, like, it's like, let's all get a verse and let's all rap on this, you know what I mean?
In Detroit, by the way, right?
Detroit,
so what what was that? Like, did you have, what were you making beats on at that point, like, high school?
I think I was on Reason.
Wow.
Yeah. Before that, I was on, like, Acid Loops. It was even crazier.
Damn.
Like, yeah. But then, I was making beats on Reason and just, like, trying to do my best imitation of Pharrell, you know?
I was going to ask you, who was your...
Pharrell and Timbaland was, like, you know... I remember because I had my cousin, he was a producer, too, and he was always trying to make the Timbaland beats, and I was always trying to make the Pharrell ones. Yeah, so,
era.
Yeah. But and then for my stuff, I was just making like weird stuff, like because I was into like Radiohead and Fiona Apple, Bjork, all that stuff.
In Rainbows is one of my favorite.
Oh my god, it's one of the best albums.
It is. I mean that too.
By far.
Yeah. Okay. Jesus. Kid. Like In Rainbows in particular. Like, was it Weird Fishes? I was just listening to that like the other.
I mean, not a bad time to listen to that. It's crazy how good that was.
Yeah. So with the TDE relationship, because I know selfishly I have to ask you, I know you about this mythical album with you and Absol that never came out or will never see the light of day.
It might.
How did that come about? I finally met Absol a few months ago. He was in New York. Great guy. Awesome. But all that aside, how was that? And songs? What's the sound? Like, what's the whole...
That was after the Kendrick stuff. Well, because I met Absol first, and then he was like, "We got to do stuff," and then I did that Kendrick stuff, and then he came to my studio, and we made one song, and it was for the they were doing like this thing of like they were doing this thing of like they would release. It was kind of like a Good Fridays.
Yeah, remember that?
So like Schoolboy released
Classic
one,
era, yeah.
Kendrick released one, and Absol. So I did Absol's for that. And they, you know, everybody liked it. So, you know, he was like, "Let's do a whole project." And so we just started making songs and started hanging out at the studio and, you know, getting stuff on record. And I was just, we were talking recently because he was like, "Send me those tracks. I want to like just to listen to them again." And I was... So I had to like pull him back up and listen to him. I was like, "Damn, what the hell were we on?" It's crazy.
This is like 2013.
It must have been. Must have been 2013. Yeah, that's crazy.
Do you ever think that they'll ever see that?
We were thinking about it. We were thinking about it like recently, actually. And I sent him stems to see if he could if his guy could mix them, because I don't have time to like full out mix the stuff right now, because like when I'm not a mixer, so when I mix stuff, it takes me forever.
Yeah.
Like, that's the hardest aspect of making an album for me is the mixing.
Is mixing?
Yeah.
Is that because of how tedious the work is itself, or because of how, like, much of a perfectionist you are with the
process?
Probably both.
And also, I don't know what I'm doing, so that doesn't help. You know? I'm, like, trying to figure it out as I go.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... there's a thing or two of like, you can only do it for so long a day. You can't like, you can't power through it because your ears get fatigued and you don't even know what you're hearing anymore.
Yeah.
So it's also that. So you have to be patient with it and, you know, take breaks and come back so you have fresh ears to even hear, you know, the changes you made. So it's just process.
Do you find that with making songs too? Like, do you need to like, I've been, you
like
know,
writing them, you mean?
Writing or recording, or do you feel like you need to, I've been doing this, like we were texting yesterday, you're like a full day in the studio. Did you like take a break? Or like, how does that process look for you when you're really making an album?
When I'm making the songs, that's the most exciting part for me. So like writing the songs is my favorite. Well, favorite besides listening to what I just recorded. That's my like, favorite part. It's like, holy shit, this is like a song.
It works.
It works, exactly. It's like you put something together from IKEA, and you're like, holy shit, I did that. What?
Pen to paper, a notepad? Like, what's your typing it, or how do you actually?
Typing it is most of the time, and or I'll...
voice notes?
I'll voice note it, or I'll just sing it, like, you know, like... think of the line in my head and sing that line, and then be like, okay, what's the next line? But most of the time I try to like, you know, write it at least like to a point and then sing it and then be like, okay, where can I go from here? Write it, then sing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you usually build, cause when I write, I'm not writing music, but when I used to do like writing articles and stuff, I would have a line and then I would build out from that. For you, is it like, here's the hook, or I know I have this line, which would be great to end a verse, and then I'll build around that? Or do you, like, top down it?
It's probably different every time.
Yeah.
That's definitely one way to do it. But, it depends. It depends. That's hard. It's different every time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There is a point where you're like, you know, what do I want to call this song? You know what I mean? And that's kind of like... your title.
Identify the theme.
Yeah, like what's the theme? Like it's like if you have a movie, what's the title of the movie? What is this about?
Yeah.
You know, so that comes sometimes later, or it's the first thing where I'm like, oh, I want to make a song called Soft Spot. That was how Soft Spot happened. I was like, I just thought of Soft Spot. I'm like, how has nobody done a song called Soft Spot? It's such a good word or two words, like saying like a soft spot. And I was like, you know, I'm going to call the album Soft Spot. And then later I was like, I don't have a song called Soft. I should just make a song Soft Spot. And that was the last song I made for it, which I'm glad I did now.
Really? That was the last song?
Yeah. Because I was like, I got to make a Soft Spot song, not just the title.
So, the title track. Yeah. You need to do that. Yeah. So let's go to when Soft Spot, when the album was 23, right. So and then the TikTok thing happens how long, about a year after?
Almost exactly a year.
And I'm assuming at that point you were probably a few tracks or paces into the next project.
I was almost done. I was in mixing.
Are you still with that same, or that, where Soft Pot happened and you're like, I got to redo, or like, where did that change your process?
No.
Not at all?
No. I was just like, wow, this is like perfect timing because I have an album.
Because I'm fucking ready.
Almost ready. Yeah. And I love too that the album is so different than Soft Spot or anything on that album, which excites me even more that this is the thing that's getting attention, because it's going to flip so hard that I'm like, ooh, that excites me so much.
It's honestly,
people are expecting what most people would do is see success in something and try to recreate,
make 10 versions of that song.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm so glad that I'm not doing that, because it's going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Wait, this is the guy who just did that Soft Spot? The remix with Sada Baby? Like, what?
You mentioned last night when we were out there how the Sada Baby moment, because I asked you, I was like, do you have an artist or a person that you've always wanted to work with? And you were like, well, even with the Sada Baby thing, it was so natural. Do you want to?
It's just based on the song. You know, there's a handful of people that I've tried to get on songs, and it's based on just like what the song calls for, you know, not because like it's a name or something like that. Like, I So I had you remember so badly. I have the part where I talk.
Yeah.
In the beginning. Yeah. So originally,
which
I sent
is so
that,
like 70s.
Yeah.
Old, like
so
Isaac
originally,
days.
I sent that
Barry
to,
White.
Snoop Dogg, and I was trying to get him to do it, but he wanted money, and I was like, oh, I don't have money.
But like, he's like, you see the vision.
I'm like, he's right. Like, this could be so
just
good.
Just do it for the vibe.
Yeah, because if he was like talking, I was like, oh yeah. My God. I mean, it's fine. It worked out.
The thing
but, like,
is, baby.
Yeah. I was like, that would be so random and unexpected. And he's not like rapping. He's just like talking.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? So it's like that kind of stuff. And there was a song on Whatever Makes You Happy where I wanted to get, was it Shuggy Otis to
which
play?
Which record?
To Love Ain't Enough, the lead at the end. Yeah. I wanted him to get him to play and say, like, featuring Shuggy Otis. So it's like random stuff like that. I was like, this would be so crazy if just Shuggy Otis got on there and just played a guitar, like, but he wanted money too. And I was like, damn, I don't have money yet. I'm like, but I get it. You know what I mean? Maybe now it's a little, it is a little easier. So, you know, if I can think of it now, maybe it'll actually.
But you
work
said
out.
the Sada baby moment happened because didn't he post it on his story or something like that?
Yeah, and this was like a couple days before we were talking about like who would be good on this. And I was like, dude, Sada baby would kill this. And then a couple days go by and he posted it on his story. And
just
I was,
randomly.
Yeah. And I literally said to him, dude, this is so fucking crazy because I was just talking about how you should be on this remix.
Yeah.
I was like, please get on this remix.
Yeah.
And so he was like, hell yeah. And we did it. And I'm so glad that he did the two verses too, because then it inspired me to do the intro too, like redo the intro. So
it's like a whole new song.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just,
which is
what I remember when we were younger. Like remixes used to just be a new.
Oh yeah, no, I
maybe
remember
maybe a different beat. Slightly,
I remember the king of R&B.
Still, your biggest influence. You said off mic. You still we're listening to him on the way here. Actually,
I believe I can fly. Oh my God! You know, after all that happened, somebody told me they were in yoga and they were playing I Believe I Can Fly.
Oh my God. Talk about trying to stay in like a Zen state. Like, is that fucking R. Kelly?
It's such a good song though.
I could see you, and I don't want to harp on R. Kelly too, but I could see you like for the bit doing a Trapped in the Closet, like an 8-part series.
God.
Just like
that would be amazing.
I mean, we were talking about Crackhead Jameson last night.
Yeah, I mean, Crackhead Jameson's. Damn, I don't know what I want it to happen first, and then we can talk. About, I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give away Crackhead Jameson's. Oh my God, we're getting too deep here.
Yeah,
talking about R. Kelly and Crackhead Jameson. Jesus,
where do we go from
in
here?
The fuck.
So, if you had to describe, if you were to describe without like giving away too much sauce, like what's the sound of the next iteration of Jameson?
Shit, I don't. I mean, it's different. Is the most poignant word? It poignant. I don't even know if that's applies in this. As an adjective to describe it, but different, and I guess like I had a little bit of angst, and I think that is what it gives a little bit is some angst about just a lot of things going on
personally
Music wise, just like the music landscape, I was, you know, I felt for me, you know, not to take away from anything going on, but it just feels a little stale to me musically. So I was like, you know, there was angst about that because, you know, it's kind of like I want to shake it up. Like, can we do something different? Can we do anything else? So that was the goal is like, you know, if you want to see change, then change yourself. You know, that you be, what does it be the change?
You're the Gandhi of music.
So I just went that route. Just be the change
you
want to
see the world.
You know, don't expect it to change. Just try to, you know, try to be part of the change. Like, be part of the culture shift.
And it couldn't have come, I think, at a better time for you. I mean, obviously, every artist wants like that moment to happen, like the day they pick up a guitar.
Yeah.
But we were talking about this again last night. You are in this like very unique position of having like decades of albums, a decade of albums that people can now backlog and listen to. And obviously, Bout It has now had like its own moment, independent of Soft Spot. Which is awesome because that album came out, what, 2012?
Yeah, 2014.
2014?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, these are so...
Yeah.
Which is so different than most people that are have a song that goes viral, then it's like, fuck, I have no catalog. I have to play catch up. Here's like a 6-song EP. 4 of these songs are the same song that I put out, which is different versions of it. And then here's 2 new songs that I've just shelved for the last 2 years.
True.
Which is like, yeah.
You just broke it down. I was saying that. We're such a unique position to be in. And, you know, that's about timing. And, like, anybody who knows me knows that, like, literally I say this to anybody who ever walks into my studio. I'm like, it's out forever. You don't know when it's going to get hit. Tomorrow, it could hit 30 days from now, it could hit a year, 10 years, it could hit after you're dead, you know. I just hope it happens while I'm alive, you know, because that'd be nice,
yeah,
you know. But it's out forever, like it's not like there's no, which is trippy to think about, that it's just out there and gonna stay out there forever. But that's a whole other thing. But I always say that, like, you can't trip about,
go into that.
No, I mean, just thinking about that, it's out forever.
Just like the fact that you'll be existing.
So, oh my, none of that.
To what extent?
Just like that, people are gonna find it 100 years from now and be like, "What the fuck is this guy doing?" You know what I mean? Like he's a creeper in the video or some shit. like he's got this long hair in the wind and well, the mountains. And when they're on in the AI Teslas and shit, they're like, "Why is he in the mountains?" You know, like mountains. What are those? Don't like you die out there?
We're talking about "Feel Like a Woman" that video, when you're just
exactly.
like covered in like.
Someone's gonna find that in 100 years and be like, "What the fuck?" Oh my god. And it's going to be a whole another social media platform that's implanted into their wrist or something.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just watching it in their glasses. I don't know. Their contacts.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we're going off on a tangent.
We're kind of fucked. The world's kind of over.
Yeah. It is weird. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes?
Sometimes.
It feels like
more
movie
often than not.
Idiocracy a little bit, right?
I'm so mad. Yeah. My friend is... Yeah. He's like similarly like comedy guy, loves it, and he's like, "I recently watched Idiocracy." He was like, "You need to see it because it's..."
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No, I've seen it, but it was like years ago, and he was like, "Just rewatch it because it could not be more..."
It's crazy.
Now
it's really crazy.
Yeah,
it really is crazy. It's trippy.
I gotta revisit that.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get to that point, but you know, it's funny to...
I mean, they're kind of dropping seeds with like...
True.
Trump's gonna run again, like he's, you know, prime for 2028.
Yeah, well, politics aside, it's just like culture is what I think is what it is. Not even politics. It's funny that politics has infiltrated culture so much now. That's another whole other thing, like how much people talk about politics. It's like, who the fuck cares? Is that affecting your life? Like, really? Is it really affecting your day-to-day?
Not day-to-day.
Only
no.
If you sit there and talk about it. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think it's just, like, easy for people to point fingers at their shortcomings. And it's like, I'm not succeeding because this guy in Washington made this decision.
He's holding me back.
Yeah, like, I didn't get my master's because
Everybody. Oh, we were talking about this, the whole victim thing that's going on too. Oh god.
Well, you gotta be a victim.
The artist victim thing.
What's your
the
victim
artist
arc?
Victim trend on social media is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
The independent artists. Oh, the algorithm's fucking everybody and fucking... Oh my god, I can't even.
You're independent.
Yeah.
So what's your victim arc? How can you...
There is no victim.
No,
what
do you...
I'm not
if you're gonna... If you're...
I'm not a victim.
What are you gonna do? What's your...
Oh my god, I can't even. I can't even with this shit. How to how to blow up on, you know, social media. Oh my god, I wish I could go on a rant about these fucking... I shouldn't.
Do it.
Nah.
You can.
No, I'm good. I'll get worked up. The fucking... I just can't stand this fucking victim mentality. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, just go fucking make a song. Shut the fuck up. Make a better song. Jesus. See, I... this is why I don't...
No, it's because you're not wrong.
It's yeah. Like, oh, the algorithm's fucking with me. Like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
But you've been making music for so long. I'm sure there's been times in your career where you're like, this is the thing that's been keeping me from becoming this.
Yeah.
What were those things? Is it like, because you were signed and then when it, was it a matter of like the labels holding me back or like?
Yeah, well, they were holding me back just because they didn't let me release music.
Why? Why do labels do that? What is that about?
Because I don't know. And that was a different time back then too.
I never understood that.
Yeah, they were just, they wanted the smash. That was like, their mentality was like, we want the smash. We want you to work with, you know, Dr. Luke or Max Martin or whoever can give us the smash. You know what I mean? Until we have that, we're not going to release anything. And you're in purgatory and you're stuck there.
What song that you put out independently that led to the labels looking at you? Or was it an album or?
Well, I mean, it's been happening throughout my independent career, but it's, you know, it's moments in every...
Cause like I feel like Cruel Intentions was
Cruel
like
Intentions the was a big one.
Yeah.
What was another big one? I mean, Drinking was a big one. The Velvet album had a couple, and yeah, I mean.
But now more than ever, I'm sure.
Yeah. Soft Spot was like more than I had ever done, more meetings than I had ever done. By the end, I was just like, "You guys go. I can't even go to these. Like they all say the same thing."
What's the pitch in 2025?
I don't even know what the fucking pitch is.
We see you as a, I know this spiel. I'm not even, I worked at Atlantic, but everything I'm about to say is not just Atlantic. This is arc of the scene of everything is we don't sign TikTok artists. We sign legacy artists. Mm. We want to see you grow and build and put out, you know, become the next fill in the blank with like a legendary.
Wow. That sounds like old school.
It's like that's the thing. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to promote that. Yeah. We don't want the single. Yeah. Even though they're literally signing you for the single and they're trying to give off this thing. It's like, we truthfully want to watch you grow and nurture you. But it's like, no, you just want the publishing on the song that's triple platinum.
Yeah. It's very.
So where did you leave off with the, are you done with, I understand the meetings, but you're like, I'm not.
Yeah. Cause it's just like, they're not. Some of the stuff they sent me was insulting. I can't even.
Offer wise, or just like, oh really?
Yeah, a couple of them sent like actual like label deals with master. I'm like, first of all, I told you the first thing. You can license the record.
Yeah.
I'm not selling my masters.
You can't
for
touch
nobody.
My fucking.
I'm gonna put in my will. You cannot sell my masters to nobody. It belongs to my dead cat. Like, Jesus. Then they'll start putting your shit in Carl's Jr.'s commercials. Fucking Prince, man.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. They're like, let's go crazy. And it's like a Carl's Jr. burger. Like, damn, that's crazy.
They could. You have some songs that are like built for like ads.
Although, I mean, if they're paying me, I might be like, oh, Carl's Jr. ain't that bad. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
It's poisoning everybody. I'm kidding. Not poisoning me.
RFK is gonna get us in under check, guys. We're all in safe hands.
Yeah, I drove through a Carl's Jr. because I had to make a U-turn, and it was like daytime, and I was like, "Damn, who's eating there?"
I've never had it.
There's like spray paint on the windows and shit that they didn't scratch off, and you could just see the grease on the windows.
But it's still doing like $5 million a month in revenue.
It's crazy. I'm like, damn, who is he in there? Shit.
In and out. That's another great marketing shit food. Mediocre.
Them in their fucking prison cell working. There's like,
there's
like 20 of them in a fucking 5x5 box.
Excuse me.
Oh my God. How is that legal?
I mean, the craziest shit to work, like the Amazon workers that literally just have like a piss bucket because they can't leave the line. Yeah, like they don't get bathroom breaks or like.
Who the fuck's the guy who's saying, who's enforcing that?
That's the thing. I think it used to be people, and now it's just fucking cameras, and they can.
This seems like propaganda.
Yeah, it's
like propaganda. who said this?
Amazon. They're
you
like,
can go fucking piss. Come on.
Well, because I think they track your production by not like if you're physically there, but obviously like how much work you're doing on the floor.
Yeah,
so if you're constantly like leaving the floor, they like mark that against you.
Really?
It's like a whole fucking
man. I piss so much.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. They monitor your productivity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're choosing to do the piss bucket then because they want to.
Because they're like, if I can just pull my dick out and pee, but it's, my hands are still free.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Oh, so they probably get paid more if they're getting.
I don't know if it's
productive.
More. They're not incentivized to pee more. Oh, yeah. Not the pee thing.
Well, they got
to
be incentivized.
No, the incentive. Yeah, yeah.
To be more productive if they're doing a pee bottle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I thought you meant they were getting paid more to pee on the floor. I was like, no.
No. To be more productive.
No. Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that deep in the internet.
What do you? Yeah, where do you? Are you like not even like pop, but like where do you get like news or what do you
Twitter.
Read or your Twitter guy?
Love Twitter for news. Yeah.
But like, hasn't it changed so much? It's like
I think it changed for the better. The algorithm changed it for the better because Twitter used to be like a graveyard, but now it's like I feel like I see more funny shit and like I mean the news is kind of like. The news before the switch was so much pop culture, like pop shit that I did not give two shits about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like this person, I don't even know their names, you know.
It doesn't
those,
matter.
All those people.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, who are these people, first of all, and why the fuck is this news?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This person teases this and fucking this person. Like, who the fuck cares?
But haven't you had like a taste of that? Like in tabloid wise?
No.
A little bit?
No. Who the fuck? Nobody's tabloiding me.
A little bit.
The fuck? Nah, no.
Come on.
Nah, I'm not tabloiding.
LA for 20 years.
Cuz I'm chill. I'm chill. I don't, you know, I'm just doing me.
Yeah.
I'm not trying. I feel like you get that energy if you put that out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've been here for 20 years, so like
Yeah, if I run into somebody, I'm like, "Hey, yeah, oh hi." I'm very calm. Yeah, we can do a picture. That's fine.
When you're in LA, like, what's your routine outside of like recording and like actually being a musician? Do you like to go out or do you like to eat out or are you just kind of like a homebody or what's your?
Pretty much home.
Home
a lot. I try to like have stints where I say yes more to like going places, and. You know,
so this is a big weekend then.
Yeah, exactly. Back to back. Yeah, I've been saying yes more often now, especially because I'm done with my record.
That's so, a good feeling.
Yeah. So I feel like I gotta like start living life again to get some inspiration. Like the other night, I was at like this dance hall thing, and it just that music inspired me so much. I was like, damn, yeah, okay, I need to go out and like hear more music and like last night hearing all that stuff. I mean, get it, shouty.
That song we were going to
so
Lloyd.
Good.
Great mean, DJ, by the
way. Yeah. He's amazing.
Awesome.
But yeah, no, just hearing stuff out in the real world and experiencing the energy and all of that, because like it really helps fuel, you know, inspiration for me.
They always say that with comedians in particular, but also artists, it's like the more you succeed, the more wealth you accrue, the less inspired you become because everything is catered to. You're not living life because everything is done for you on your behalf and you literally don't need to leave your home if you don't want.
True.
You can travel show to show, hit the hotel, bus, tour, whatever, and you just like aren't living life, which is when like comedians in particular become stale and it's like, what are you talking about? You're going from private jet to stage.
Yeah.
Like what life is happening for you to actually write good content?
Yeah, and the stakes aren't as high.
Yeah.
You know,
that too.
Yeah, it's not like you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You know? When that urge of like, man, I gotta do this or I'm fucked, you know? Like that will really light the fire to like, you know. And some artists keep that fire going and those are the those are the artists that have longevity that like keep inspired on that. Like they still got the chip on their shoulder trying to prove something.
What's your spark? Because I feel like you're not a chip on the shoulder. You have no enemies.
Oh, I mean, I'm a chip on the shoulder of like, of course I am. Because that's just comes from insecurity of like not being good enough. So I have a chip on my shoulder of like, I'm going to prove that I'm good enough to myself. You know what I mean? Like, so
did that start in like school? Like, is this like middle school, high school? Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, probably like early. Yeah, I had a, you know, I had a lot of people tell me, you know, I couldn't sing or I couldn't do this, couldn't play guitar for shit, you know, all that stuff. So I held on to those and I'm like, I'm gonna prove you wrong. And now it's like, okay, you know, but I still hold on to it. I'm like, motherfuckers.
It's like the guy that probably doesn't remember you at all. You're like, yeah, exactly. Guy,
they're like, I said that? Yeah. I said that?
Got like a wife and kids.
I'm like, yeah, I based my whole fucking life around it.
I have five albums about it, bitch. Yeah. Listen to this 8-minute guitar solo on Cruel Intentions.
This 8-minute guitar solo proving to you that I could play. I can play. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that's what keeps me going. It's just like trying to prove, you know, that I'm good enough. And it's just, it's like an insecurity thing, and which we're all insecure as humans in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, artists might have it a little bit more, you know, because you're putting yourself out there more, maybe. But
yeah, it's like most people don't have the urge or the need to not only be insecure, but then share with the world how fact they are insecure. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm going to be vulnerable, but then you're also going to judge it and say it sucks.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm doing crazy? The thing. I'm being I did it.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll always fuel me to try to be good enough. You know, I don't think that just goes with success. You know, like success comes and goes, but like, you know, I don't think there's ever going to be a point where I feel like I'm, you know, good enough. Like I've done enough.
There's no like, monetary threshold or like, you know, a Grammy nomination or recognition.
I don't give a shit.
None of that. There's no outward thing that you can say like, look, I did it. I tipped my cap. I did the very thing.
No, it's an inward thing of like, you know, making something that I'm like, oh, you know what? I made like, that's it. That's all. It's over. Like I just made it. That was the best thing I could ever have made, and I'm never gonna make anything like that again.
Do you have that? Have you had that?
No, and I hope I don't have that, because then I really won't make anything ever again. You know what I mean? That's the thing, is like, it's the never-ending process. There's always gonna be a place where you can get better and stuff. Like I say that my goal as an artist is to, you know, make the best possible song ever written. I probably won't ever achieve that goal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's based on who's listening.
Yeah, it's subjective. Like
exactly. It's an unattainable goal, but that is still my goal for me, is to make the best song ever written. Every time I do it, I'm like, this got to be the best one that, you know, I've ever written, first of all, and then try to make it the best ever written ever.
If you were to say, what do you think is your best written song? Shit. I have one that came to mind just off top.
I have favorites, but I don't know, like, best written shit. I don't know. I really like Patiently. I really like that one.
Yep. And Foolin' is similar.
Oh, yeah. Foolin's good. Foolin', I have some stuff I would have fixed in that, but, you know.
Lyrically, or?
No, just shit. Like, I don't know what back then I would do a lot of overdubs of like harmonies and overlapping vocals and stuff. I would have just made it more focused, you know, but it is what it is, and it's amazing. But it's, you know, now I look back and I'm like, why did I do like so many vocals? Like I just had a bunch of ideas. Now I'm more focused.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Secret Garden's one that I like. Ooh. That's like a good written song.
Yeah.
You know, but
that is a great written.
So I, you know, I just want to make, you know, the best song, you know.
So the next album, you're breaking the stale mold, and then you said you're also focusing on like just the personal, like what else has shaken up? Has there been like any other major event in your personal life or like outwardly?
I mean, just changing landscapes of like what's going on. And I was, you know, I would lie if I say I wasn't frustrated at, you know, doing stuff for so long and, you know, still trying to break through some certain like thresholds of, things to do, you know, like selling tickets or, anything like getting opportunities to do different things and like feeling like, damn, man, what do I have to do to like be able to, you know, sell more tickets and get, you know, more opportunities and stuff. I'm like, you know, it always comes back to like, you know, just make the best stuff you can make, and it's going to happen when it's going to happen. And it's not like it was, you know, not going forward. It was just like, I'm always trying to figure out, okay, how do we, you know, get scale up?
Yeah, of course.
Because that's the goal, is to scale it up, and because that's, you know, it's growth. And so there's frustration in that, you know, and that had something to do with it. And then frustration with like where music is at as a whole and culture, I was frustrated with. And not everybody might be frustrated with, but just for me, I was frustrated with it because I do want to hear like new shit that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
You know,
Do you listen to?
Who have I been listening to? Like, I went back to Fiona Apple again. Yesterday or the day before, and then I was listening to, what was this guy's name? Wait, let me see.
Yeah, go for it. Okay.
Alessandroni.
It's a fire name.
Yeah,
double down.
Yeah. What era? I think it might be 70s, but it was,
that's my sweet spot. 70s, yeah, right? Is really my, I can send you a bunch of shit that I've been listening to,
please.
I mean, a lot of, let me see, who else I've been, Bobby Humphrey.
Wow, he's got so many albums, Jesus. Bobby Humphreys.
The Blackbirds, this is all 70s, you would love, I mean, yeah, even down to the artwork, man, it's just like, these are like pieces of art.
Yeah.
Like, amazing. Everything about it is so much more like well thought out.
Yeah, I've been just listening to a lot of
Roy Ayers. I mean,
oh yeah, Roy Ayers.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I've been listening to a lot of, because it's like instrumental music, and so I've just kind of been listening to that. And then I don't know why I went back to Fiona Apple, just because that When the Pawn album is so good, and every time I put it on, I'm just like get inspired. You know, y'all I need, y'all I need. Oh my god, y'all I need. Oh my god, when she does that run, so good.
I just want to add one. We're gonna do a voicemail. I have one question before voicemails because I was talking about the early 2010s era, and I think one of the first songs I heard you on, which was my intro to you, was a song you featured on, and it was like, I mean, I guess they kind of gave you verse, but it was more like backing vocals, and just like you just like stripped the song of like its direction and just kind of stole over the second half of the record. Pray.
Oh shit. Game. Yeah.
Cole's on that too.
Yeah.
And I'm like hearing like to go from Cole's vocals to like you singing, I was like, this is fucking like
I think the
Game is low key one of the greatest A&Rs.
I mean, period.
I mean, if you look at how he can make a track list, like he gets it.
And I was, you know, I was the biggest Game fan growing up, so that was like a moment for me.
Yeah,
like I was 50 Cent, Game, Eminem, all them, like Dr. Dre, like 50 Cent still one of my like top three rappers. 50 Cent is my top
Who else
three.
Is in that for you?
I would say this is a crazy list, but Azealia Banks.
Oh, I forgot how much you love Azealia.
I love Azealia. And what's a third one? Probably I really loved Santana. Joel Santana.
Oh, wow. That's what I grew up. Dipset
was everything.
Kid.
Yeah, for sure.
What the Game's been missing was a heavy rotation.
Yeah. That's probably my three. I mean, wait, Lauryn Hill though is in there for rapping, for sure.
You give it to her off the one album?
Yeah. I mean, well, she was rapping on the Fuji album.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, Lauryn Hill's got to be in there, so I would maybe take out.
You don't have to take. We can do four.
Okay, we can do four.
Keep a four. That's four. Mount Rushmore. We'll do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, is there four on Rushmore?
There are.
Yeah, I got the strangest list.
There might be five. I think they might Trump
but
wants to get added to 50
Cent is, oh, my God.
I saw him at Dreamville Fest last year.
So good. He's, I tried to get him on a song, too.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I ever got
so
to him.
Oh, that would be so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like there's an inroad here with...
I thought I had an inroad, too. Because I was...
So Alex, who owns this studio, is on Flagrant, Andrew Schultz's podcast. Okay. And Schultz and 50 have a very good relationship.
Oh, for real?
So I think that's like, they've had him on the show two or three times. Like, I think that's like close to the new.
Okay, all right.
You can make it work.
Putting it out in the universe.
Yeah.
Well, shit, now I don't have a song for him to get on, though. I gotta go make a song for this shit.
These kids are
sexy.
I think they're Grammy winning producers. They reached out to me. They're from Copenhagen.
Oh, for real? And they said, like, let me make one.
We'd love to make you a custom jingle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jingles are changing.
Jingles, yeah.
Jingles
Isn't
are
that
changing.
Sexy?
That doesn't it's even sound like a jingle.
I think it's insulting to call it a jingle. It's like a really nice
that real production. That looks like it's got like it's gonna have a drone shot going over Hollywood Hills $1 million mansion over there. Showing the infinity pool. Yeah. Amazing.
All right, let's get into it. Yeah, go ahead, Reggie.
So, Julian, I'm kind of giving advice, getting advice by proxy for my friend. They'll remain nameless. Because
they're kind of that is
kind of dating around right now, and they're finding themselves like infatuated with this guy. The guy was like giving 110% in the beginning, you know, super quick to respond to the text. Let me see your outfit. Not in like a weird way, but, you know, like the mutual desire was there, but now, you know, week and a half later, they're trying to make plans for this weekend, and he's
it's crazy
like
how much he knows about this
not
friend.
Locking it in.
Yeah, he wants
telling
to
her
it's
he
him.
Has soft plans this weekend. I feel like that is just a way of being non-committal. Maybe he does have soft plans.
Okay.
I don't know.
What's the question?
So anyway, the issue at hand is that this girl who's like, some could say she's a little down bad for the guy. She's a catch. She's really cute and funny, and she's got another opportunity for a date on Sunday.
It's his date.
So I'm like, let's just rip this Sunday date. Yeah.
Let's just meet.
It'll be fun, and we know this guy actually really wants to see her and isn't like playing games with her. Yeah, I guess it sounds like we know what to do already. But
so
maybe
there's
just
no
like
question,
your input on the situation.
Okay, well, I get it
would be valuable. So
I feel like he's talking about himself.
So, yeah. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
This is amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I could do this for 2 hours.
Dude, the voicemails are so fun. Fuck. I wonder. Yeah. But all right. Basically, this sounds like, you know, like when you start dating somebody and it's like, I like you, but I'll give you the work day. LA is different because LA is dating scares me. Yeah. But in New York, it's like, I'll give you a weekday night or like we'll get a coffee or something because I want to have my weekend for my friends or like other real plans. It sounds like that's what this person's doing to his friend. He's like, I like you, I'll text you, but I have plans in the weekend with like other people.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, yeah.
Okay, but what was his question?
I think there's a second part.
There's a second part? That wasn't two parts already?
Oh, sure.
What are you doing? So, yeah. No, I broke up with my...
No, this is a different one. That's a whole different call.
I don't even know what the question was.
Were
they saying like...
I think
like,
he's saying
what
like...
What should the girl do?
Yeah. So the girl has a date lined up on Sunday that is committed to, that the guy's in on. But the Saturday one, the guy that she's really into and texting is kind of flaky.
Wait, so she's got two different guys?
Yeah.
Then what's she worried about?
I guess you know how it is. The girl, the guy, the one that they want is always the one that doesn't want them.
That's busy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, well, why worry about this guy when you have the guy that me, literally the guy that called. He's like, why worry?
Oh, that's the.
No, it's not him, but it's him. It's fucking him. Yeah. So what do you? I mean, what's the?
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, and he wants the one that he can't have too. So they
it sounds
both want
like
this.
It. It's
they
very Shakespearean.
Yeah, it's crazy. Love's a crazy thing, you know. Yeah.
Ask her out. That's my advice.
Right?
Clearly,
go,
you want to be with this girl.
Go for it. At least, I mean, at least
this friend
know
of mine.
Where you stand. You know. Well, I could probably guess where you stand. I don't like you like that.
Yeah.
Like we were like such good friends. I don't want to ruin the friendship. Okay. Like
that. Yeah.
Oh, you know it's gonna happen.
That's a thing.
We should go. We could still go on Sunday, but like as friends, though, right? Yeah, yeah. As long as we're just friends.
Yeah, as though. Long as we're friends.
And you're paying.
Yeah, yeah. You know how friends are. Yeah, we don't go Dutch.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that.
I've had one friend do the date within the friend group thing. Blew up two friend groups.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it was really fucking annoying. Damn. I love him. He's like one of my best friends, but like yeah. we told him, like, dude, do not date her. Yeah. Broke up. And then he was like, all right, I won't do it again. Found another one in like another close friend group. Blew up that group. I'm like, damn. Dude. Like,
it never worked. Sabotage.
Never fucking worked. It's so selfish. I'm like, don't do that, man. Like,
damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least like know you want to really do it.
Yeah. Or yeah.
Not
you know.
Just like loosely date.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. New York's different, huh?
I hate date. I haven't dated in LA. I've never lived here, but like the car culture of it alone is like I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't. The thought of driving everywhere and then it's just like I feel like it's more expensive to date here because of that.
It is expensive too. Here for sure.
Do you have like a routine? Like I feel like everybody has their thing. Is it like are you like a day date or like a night a movie or like what's the
I haven't been on a date in I don't even know how, maybe nine years or something.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. 9 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I was in a relationship for 8 of them.
Well, that checks out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So you have to like get reintegrated into.
Yeah. 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 That's weird, huh?
Maybe you can talk to LaRue tonight.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. Jesus. Are we on? No, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. No. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That was sorry.
Jesus.
Whoops. Whoops. What? Damn. I did not mean
well, this weekend
that.
Will be long done after. Well, who knows how the night ends up?
Yeah, ooh, right?
Part
oh my
two
God.
Coming soon.
That's crazy.
All right, man. Well,
yeah.
I think we're. We don't. We shouldn't do another one.
Yeah, I was about to ask. We can do another one.
We want to do it.
Yeah, why not?
Let's do this.
Why not? Fuck it. I've already embarrassed myself enough.
This
so.
Is great.
Let's go some more.
Let's do it.
First one and last one.
So, yeah. No, I broke up with my ex about like 4 months ago.
Okay.
So you know I'm on that typical, you know, workout, get my money right, kind of grind, you know, the single guy glow up. And now I'm starting to get attention from other women, but I'm liking the place I'm in of just improvement. But I don't know if I'm supposed to be improving for like that attention and this is where I'm supposed to be at, this is the final goal, or if I'm like still need to keep going and ignoring it. It's a weird kind of position I'm in, so I just look for advice on that. Let it pie, keep it up, appreciate it.
I think you make improvements for yourself. Isn't that the whole point? Like, yeah. And then when you're becoming a better version of yourself, people become attracted to that because they see that you maybe physically look better, carrying yourself a little better, posture's gotten better. Like, people are attracted to the new version of you, but like the priority should always be yourself.
Yeah, RuPaul says it best. If you can't
look, does RuPaul say?
If you can't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else? That's,
RuPaul definitely did say that.
Yeah, he says that every time.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that. Love that saying. It's the truth. It's the truth. But I wouldn't, like, deny it because you're, you know, I mean.
Well, the thing he's saying is, like, I just got out of something. I don't want to get back into something because I feel good.
Yeah.
Don't
do
rush.
What makes you feel good, for sure. That's
whatever makes you happy.
Whatever makes you happy.
Listen to whatever makes you happy and stay happy.
Yeah, true. Whatever makes you feel good. Yeah, there's no rules. Just do whatever you want.
Yeah, you don't have to
kill people.
We should stay away from that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't kill people.
Unless you really want to.
Unless they're a healthcare.
You're willing to go to jail for life. Yeah. But, you know. No, that's bad.
That's a bad idea. Regardless, it's a bad idea.
Kidding. Kidding.
Yeah, if you want to be in a relationship, which it does sound like you do, then just don't. You can be casual if you want to still feel that physical itch. You got it. You know what I mean? You got to get laid. Like,
boy.
Yeah, you got to do something. So, can do it, but do it respectfully. Like, don't ghost women. Don't lead them on. Be like, hey, like, you know, if it's casual, make sure they know that. Like, basically communicate. That's all I'm saying. But don't feel like you have to throw away you bettering yourself because you got to jump into a relationship. Don't jump into a relationship.
Yeah.
I would never advise anyone to just jump into anything just because it feels right for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you got to be friends with the person first anyway. Yeah. So work on that part.
Yeah. Keep lifting. Take an ice bath. Do like the cold plunge thing.
Yeah.
Do like the Joe Rogan circuit. Shave your body.
Get jacked,
get a
bro.
Baldy.
Get jacked.
Yeah. Get a handlebar.
Get jacked up.
Get jacked. Start taking tea.
Monster energy drinks. Fucking jack your shit up, bro.
What are your tea levels?
Not high enough.
Yeah.
Not high enough.
Yeah. Send us your tea report and we'll let you know if you can get laid.
Oh my God. Do you need some supplements? I got supplements.
I don't know what it is, but my timeline, I must have clicked on the wrong ad.
Yeah.
My Instagram ads now are all just creatine gummies.
Oh, wow.
Because they said, like, creatine historically has had a shitty flavor. And it's like, yeah, now we've made it into, like, a fucking Sour Patch Kid. And it's, like, these green, looks like candy-coated gummies. And there's, like, this guy, there's, like, jack guy walking on a college campus giving it to, like, hot chicks and guys that clearly lift, too. And he's like, fucking try it, bro. And they're like, this is delicious. So I'm like, who is this for? Like, who is, like... Who does that work on? Yeah. I don't, it's this
oh
whole.
Oh my God, the jacked guys. That's crazy. They're so jacked. They got straight up titties. It's crazy.
And you're like, jacked for what? Like, you're an accountant. Like, what are you lifting?
Man, that trips me out. Cause it's like this stuff just grows on you, you know? It's just like these things growing on you. It's crazy. It's so weird to me. I also got the body dysmorphia. That stuff trips me out.
Like you do? You think you do?
Yeah, I got it for sure.
Oh, how?
Because I always think I need to be skinnier.
My God. What are you, like a 150?
Trying to look like a crackhead, honestly.
Well, we're,
it's
coming up.
Well, just because the stakes are higher, you know? It makes the stakes
If you
higher.
Look ill?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to your point, Bieber, those shots of Bieber over the last couple months, he looks like he's like sick and people are like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he like,
something's happening.
Yeah.
Something's happening.
Something's happening.
There's some drama. You know, I'm method.
That's how you crack the tabloids is by looking like a crackhead.
Oh, no. Man. No, I just like the look of it too, though. It's like, I just look at crackheads and I'm like, I feel like they're like the most free people.
Basing. I don't know if they're like
they're free basing, but like they just don't care about anything but their crack, and they have a purpose, and they're like, you know.
But isn't that just like chasing the dragon? Isn't that? I mean, it's kind of
they're
what you were saying
of, like,
earlier
about like society and what society thinks. They're not worried about social media. They're not worried about like buying a house or fucking paying taxes. They're not worried about ship a crack. I mean, that's amazing. So that's why I like the look of it, because it gives off the look of purpose for me.
It distills life to its purest form.
Yes, exactly.
I hate that makes purpose. Sense, but it does.
Exactly.
That being said, I've seen five dicks coming in and out of LA off the ramp because there's so many fucking guys who just like just ripped janky pants.
True. Yeah, there's a lot of. I saw a guy taking a shit on Sunset Boulevard over here the other day. I was like, damn. I was going the other way because he was faced the way. I was like, damn, those people on that side are seeing his full asshole.
Dilated.
Like, I'm getting the frontal view, and I couldn't look away either. I was like, he's really. I was watching it drop. I was like, what?
From the leg.
He's really just shitting on the sidewalk. Like bent over with his ass facing these other cars, and we're all stopped at the light.
Imagine having that level of no fear,
right?
Or just like repercussions.
See?
It's like, do they? But then,
that's
but then,
freedom.
Like you don't wipe.
That's freedom.
That is freedom.
That is fucking freedom.
That is America.
Yes,
that's America.
That's crazy. You see what I'm getting to?
No, you're right. You're right. Well, damn, man, this is incredible, Jameson. Thank you so much, man. Do you want to talk about what's coming out or not, or what's next, or timeline wise?
New album is coming up. New single is going to be in May.
Awesome.
But I'll leave the date for later because I don't know the exact date. But yeah.
A couple show runs coming up?
Yes, in June. Those dates are coming up. I think we got 3 in LA and 3 in New York.
I will see you in New York.
All right.
All right, guys.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Jameson, when you're in New York, I'd love to do this again. This would be fun to pick up where we left off.
Down. We could do a straight up all calls.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I'm so down. Just give the best relationship advice.
Yeah, let's go.
We just end with become a crackhead. Take a shit in the street.
Right?
Yeah.
If you could.
If you can. If you could be so lucky.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Oh, should I move over here?
Yeah, whatever.
Wow. So weird.
I know, it's weird.
Wow.
It's a different. This is content in 2025.
Yeah, all these the circuit. Professional lights. Jeez, we're out here with the big clock. Okay. Wow, that's trippy. Are those all different cameras? Oh yeah, one.
Yeah.
Two, three, four. Well, one's not on.
Okay. We've got the. Multicam setup, so it's going to be two ISOs and then the big dog in the middle for us.
Wow. Wait, where's that one's getting me right there. Yeah. Oh, I was like, where is that camera? It's tripping me out.
This is looking fun, man. What do you got planned for the rest of the day until tonight?
Are you still trying to go?
I'm down. Okay, what time is that at?
It's the show starts at 9.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
We were maybe going to meet at 8 and grab a drink. Let me hit him. Wait, do you know what SNM cuzzy? Like, I know cuzzy means like cuz, but SNM. Because I said, all right, sounds thing? Good. And he said, SNM cuzzy. What's SNM?
It's not like.
Like something?
SNM.
C.
Like the letter S-N-M?
S-N-M.
Isn't that like a sex thing? Say no more.
Oh, say no more.
Say no more. My God. Because, okay, that makes way more sense. Say no more. How do you know this manager?
I don't. I know this guy, Danny Seth, is he's an artist, and I just known him for a while. And he's from the UK, so he knows the manager. That'll... I guess is you know. All right, we'll see what he says here. I'm sure it's chill. She had a couple too, like I'm going in for the kill.
Yeah, that Skrillex one too. Remixed that one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh shit, yeah, the dubstep fucking yeah, he was going in for the kill.
He did it, yeah.
Wow.
I was serious.
LaRue. Let me look this up. What?
He said, yeah, we'll get it sorted.
Yeah.
Dubstep, you remember that shit?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But yeah, he said we're good for tonight.
Where's the drop? There it is.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh my God. Didn't J-Lo in her movie like have a dubstep break on something? Like a shitty dubstep break?
What?
I feel like they were in and they were trying to say it was like what do you call it? Like steampunk or something. They were all in a factory dancing.
Are you serious? Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
The movie?
Yeah, the movie she made. That movie was crazy.
What movie?
It was like I don't even know what it's called. It was supposed to be about her life, but it was a movie. But yeah, I don't know. It was wild. Maybe I'm tripping. Maybe it was just they were dressed like in a, like dancing in a factory, and it wasn't dubstep. But I just thought of the dubstep.